Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come to you in this moment asking that you might allow us in these next few moments to connect with you and to hear clearly from your Spirit through your word. I pray, oh God, that you would allow us as we bring this series to a conclusion. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to walk in the kind of faith that sees beyond what is shown. I ask now, God, that you might, by your Spirit, stand strong in me, think with my mind, speak with my tongue, cause us to hear truth that will transform us into the image of Jesus Christ, to the end that some soul is saved, some life transformed, somebody encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, I'm finishing up this series of What Do You Have, where we've been walking through different questions that come up in these moments, in these times, in these seasons, where the saints of God and the Word of God would have to push through their circumstances. And so we've dealt with, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your house? What do you have as ingredients? And today I want to deal with, what do you have in your sight? Because we're talking about how God wants to work miracles with the mundane things that we already have in our lives. So I want you to join me in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm actually going to back into verse 14 with the last few phrases of verse 13. And the report comes back to the evil king. Elisha is at Dothan. So one night the king of Aram sent a great army of many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. Elisha says in verse 16, "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. And as the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, "Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Listen, I want to ask the same question. What do you have in your sight? This was at a time when there was a war between Aram, which was in the modern day area of Syria, and God's people who were in the northern kingdom. Elisha didn't even have a good relationship with the king of Israel at the time, but he was staying in Dothan, and God would speak to him the things that were happening and the entrapments that the Syrian army was trying to set up. And Elisha would tell the king, "Listen, they're about to march through here, so set up your ambush at such and such a location." It happened not just once. It got so bad that the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, the Bible tells us, thought that there was a spy, there was a traitor, there was a snitch in his own army. He called this big meeting to figure out who was it that was telling military secrets to the other side. And they had to say, "Listen, it's not one of us, but the man of God. God tells him the things you whisper to your side chick in your bedroom." And so now the king understood that he could not defeat Israel as long as the man of God was in place. And so he decides that he's going to do something about this. Now, you can tell that the situation had gotten so militarily deteriorated for Israel that here the king of Syria can send this big army so near the nation's capital. It just shows you how helpless Israel was. He sent this army to Dothan, where it was told him that Elisha was camped out. Dothan was this town. It sat up kind of on a hillside right by the trade route that ran from Israel into the northern areas that would lead all the way up to Syria itself. It was about 12 miles from Samaria, the capital of Jerusalem. So it was a fortified city. It was a city with walls, but yet it was able to sit up about 200 feet above where the trade routes were. And it was an easy target. The man of God was an easy target for the king of Syria. Now, but listen, the king of Syria sends this army, and I need you to understand, first of all, that when we're in seasons that require us to push through, the enemy is going to seek to intimidate us into confusion and or immobility. Listen, you need to know, be very clear, the enemy is not just going to show up in some one-on-one basketball. He's not just sending a little bit of opposition. He's sending an overwhelming force. The Bible tells us in verse 14 that the king of Aram sends a great army. It's all cavalry, it's horses and chariots. They're moving fast. They're able to get from their capital to Dothan in one night. And it's a big group of people. It was a substantial force to capture just one guy. America sent in about 26 SEALs just to take out Osama bin Laden. Can you imagine? This was probably more than the hundreds. The fact that it says it was a great army meant it was probably in the thousands for one guy. The Bible says in verse 15 that there were troops and horses everywhere. Because watch this, what the enemy wants to do in this season where we've got to push through and where the question is, what are we seeing? His object is to intimidate us. It's to get us to the point to panic. So much so that the Bible says that when the servant of the man of God gets up the next morning and he sees all of these troops and all of these chariots and all of these horses, he goes into a panic. His reaction was one that you would expect of two guys against an army of thousands surrounded on every side. And that's what the enemy will really try to do in this season in your life and mine. He's going to try to make us feel overwhelmed. He's going to try to make us feel helpless and hopeless. He's going to try to shake our faith by what we see, by just what appears in front of us. He wants to try to drive us into isolation, into abandonment, of feeling like we're in this all by ourselves and there's nothing to do and nothing to do but cry out and to panic. But listen, look what Elisha says in verse 16. Blows my mind. The young guy comes out and he sees the situation that they are in, and he does what I would do. He panics. But Elisha says, don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Do you see that in verse 16? Now, I'm sure the servant was just as bewildered as you or I would be if someone said that to us, because he can see. He can count. He sees what's out there. It sounds as if the prophet is out of touch with reality, because the servant recognizes how hopelessly outmanned they are. There's a large army out there, and there's just two of us in here. What are we going to do with that? But the Bible says, the man of God tells him, don't be afraid. That's a phrase that shows up in the Bible whenever a person who trusts in God is facing a context of danger and of a huge daunting task and of overwhelming force. God says to somebody today, don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated by what you see. Don't be intimidated by what the enemy is throwing at you and what he's allowing you to see in your with your physical eyes. Don't be moved out of that place of faith by what you see with the natural eye. Because listen, there's more with us than there are with them. Listen, when you and I are in seasons that require us to push through, we have to be extremely cautious of what presents itself to our sight in the natural. The key to this entire passage of scripture, these four or five little verses, is all wrapped up in the feature of sight, of seeing. The young man comes out and he sees this army and he panics based upon what he sees. But the prophet says, don't be afraid. There's more with us than there are with them, because there's something that he sees that the young man does not see. Elisha gives this reason to not be afraid, and then he prays that the servant's eyes would be open, that God would open his eyes to the real reality and not just what he sees. He prays in verse 17, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. He prays, watch this, that the servant would see differently than what he sees in the natural. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 that the natural man, the flesh part of us, the part of us that's rooted in this ethereal reality, we cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They sound like foolishness to us, and we can't know them because they have to be spiritually discerned. God says through the man of God, there's more with us than there are with them. You're seeing what you're seeing with sight. Now I'm going to pray that God would give you sightedness that has nothing to do with the physical eye, but with the eye of faith. The Bible says that he prays that he would open his eyes, that the true nature of the situation would reveal itself out of not ordinary sight, but out of spiritual sightedness. The prophet redefines the situation for the servant. He says that there's another way to see. And I pray that in this season where you and I have to push through, that God would give us another way to see. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18 that our faith is built while we don't look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which we see are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Bible says that I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God says in this season, the enemy is going to try to overwhelm us. He's going to try to intimidate us. He's going to put things in our sight to get us afraid, to get us to freeze in place. But I'm praying like Elisha prayed, that God would open our eyes, that we would be able to see what is not seen in the natural, but see in the spirit. The Bible says in verse 17 that the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside all around them was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Watch this, that there was a new reality and a new readiness that was there in God's divine presence that the servant didn't initially see. Now, I told you that the city of Dothan sits up on a hill. The horses and the chariots of the king of Syria were in the valley right in front of the city. But the young man looked and he saw, and in between the army of the Syrians and where they were in Dothan, that's where the armies of God were standing. That God was standing between them and the enemy, so that even if the enemy wanted to, they couldn't get to the prophet, the man of God, and the servant unless they had to first go through God's army, which was bigger than theirs. I need to tell somebody right out of Psalm 34:7 that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and God will deliver them. Don't you be afraid by what you see the enemy throws at you in your natural sight, because God stands between us and the thing that the enemy wants to throw at us. I don't know who this is for, but I need to tell somebody, listen, all I'm trying to prove is that if we have no vision of God's provision, we will always operate in confusion. God stands between us and the thing, and it's all based upon what we see. Now, listen, it's easy to talk about and sing about our faith and what our trust in God, what we believe he can do, but it gets harder in the everyday battles. That's why God has to consistently bring up, what do you see? What's in your sight? 7 times in scripture, God asked the question, what do you see? Because what we see, it makes all the difference in the battle that God will fight on our behalf. What do you see when the enemy comes at you like a flood? Do you see obstacles, problems, difficulties? Do you see the impossibility of your situation? Or do you see God's provision? Do you see his protection, him standing between you and your enemies? Do you see divine guidance? Do you see breakthroughs? Do you see miracle working power? Do you see God showing up on your behalf? What do you see? Listen, we are in a season where the enemy is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. But we have to see differently. We have to see with spiritual sightedness. We have to see with eyes of faith. We have to ask God to open our eyes to show us what cannot be seen in the natural and see what God has already done on our behalf. And listen, the Bible says very clearly that the victory has already been given to those who belong to God. 1 Corinthians 15:17, thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The question becomes, if I have the victory, do I panic or do I ask God what the psalmist says in Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may see. I'm praying like the prophet prayed for the servant. I'm praying that God would open our eyes and help us to see the unseen spiritual things that God is up to, even though the enemy is trying to distract us, even though the enemy is trying to intimidate us. May we see with the eyes of faith, and may we walk in the victory that we already have through Jesus Christ. Can I pray? Father, we thank you so much for this story that reminds us that there are more with us who walk with you than there are with those that the enemy throws at us. Lord, we recognize that in this season, we're not going to be intimidated by what the enemy allows us to see, what we can touch, what we can feel, but we will walk in the Spirit. We will discern things spiritually, and our faith will not waver. We will look beyond what our eyes can see in the physical and in the natural, and we will see in the Spirit what you have done, and we will push our way through because of what we believe you have already said, done, and the fact that you stand between us and the enemy. So we're in the safest place we can be. Thank you, Lord God, in advance for what you're going to let us see with spiritual eyes in 2022. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you see?